meow, meow. Woof, woof.
Yeah, that's
meow.
The cough button. You hit the cough button, it makes Dean Cone cough. This is Michael Dean. And we're joined by the Chop Shop Rooster, Lucander Veen. And
Cock-a-doodle-doo.
Bill Bupert, the what is it, something silver leopard, silver snow leopard. And our newest
silverback snow leopard.
Our newest host, James Babb. I like this a lot. He is the rowdy mud skipper. And I had to look up mud skipper. What is a mud skipper, James Babb?
Well, a mud skipper is this incredible fish that can walk on land. If it gets tired of the water that it's in, it says, you know what? Heck with this. I'm going to just walk to some new water.
Is that the missing link?
It's been found. It's an incredible animal that exists. You know,
where
it is somehow. It's everywhere. But I think it's maybe Africa. I'm not sure. Mm. Not sure exactly.
Wow, it's pretty bizarre. It looks like a lizard with only front legs, but it's a fish. Man, you're weird.
And it's got cool eyes that can pull into its sockets. If somebody like it, because to walk on land, it has to have eyes on top of its head.
Ugh.
But if, say, a seagull comes down, it can like suck his eyeballs into his head so they to protect them. Yeah.
Wow.
Incredible animal.
That's amazing.
So, and they do get rowdy. So,
yep. That is there cool. So, I'm only on for a minute. I just want to come dance on Cantwell's grave for a minute. He got, kicked off of Free Talk Live today for using the N-word on a tweet. I guess, what I heard was, like, he told me the other day that he wishes I was dead, which is quite something to tell someone who's dealing with a fatal, possibly fatal illness. But, you know, these things happen, and I'll dance on his grave. It's all good. What did you say, Lou, about it?
Oh, it just sounds like another boob has been exposed in New Hampshire.
Oh, inside baseball there. What does that mean?
Yeah. It means that a boob has been made public. It has been shown.
Yep.
Is all over the interwebs.
You know, even before he wished me dead, I wanted to point out that I was not in my right mind last week when I said that he did everything right with that gun thing. He did everything wrong with getting into that situation. He didn't have to. He only did everything right with that gun thing in the sense that, like, a cop that ends up pulling a gun on someone that, you know, a normal person would never even contact ends up doing everything right once he pulls the gun. You know, it's kind of one of those things. Like, he didn't even have to be there. I think he's looking for trouble.
So what you're saying is if a cop agrees with you, it means that you're screwed up?
I don't even know what that means, man.
Well, it just means that if you do what a cop would have done, it means that you're messed up.
Yeah. So Free Talk Live has kicked him off indefinite suspension. I'll say this. If they are stupid enough to have him come back, I'm going to be the one leading the advertiser boycott against Free Talk Live because I can't believe they ever even had him on in the first place. The guy's toxic, and it's not good for anything. And just a mean guy, man.
You know, I believe that Edmund Burke described
back
who he is best
bit.
When
back
he said
up a little
that.
Bit. Back up off your mic. You turned it up. You didn't get the final sound check in. You got it where it should be. It wasn't up all the way, right? This is a teaching hospital.
Right.
Yeah. Yep. Okay. Now go back to 2 or 4 inches away. Thanks.
So what I was saying is Edmund Burke best described how Cantwell behaves because he said that the weak man, he mistakes rudeness for strength.
Yeah. I think that's why a lot of like women end up with bad men is they want something strong, but they haven't, the DNA wants something strong around, but they never really learned the difference between strong and a-hole. What do you think?
That's right.
Yeah.
And he did do everything wrong when I looked at that. And I think I wrote you to in that respect and described why I thought that way. And I think Boston thinks the same.
Yep.
I still haven't seen it.
And Boston is the final arbitrator on this, in my mind. I'm not kidding.
He is
like,
indeed.
You know, whatever that guy says about, you know, use of a gun, he's right. And he has a good point, too. Like, Boston Slid, like, he's been carrying a gun for, like, I don't know how many, like, 30 years or something. He's never been in a situation like that. And he lived in a college town, too. So it's, you know, yeah, I think Cantwell went looking for something like that, subconsciously at least. But I wish him luck in his new descent into less and less following and popularity, because he made fun of us for being on FCC radio. Then he got on FCC radio. So that's kind of funny. So we're still on FCC radio. We built that. Yep.
You know, the very best thing you can do with folks like that, both in and out of the movement, is simply ignore them.
Yep. All right, let's ignore them. So, Bill, turn down your slider 5 or 10%, because now you're loud and clear, and you don't want to give away your location there. Cantwell will find you. He's the enemy over there. All right, so I'm done. I've said what I have to say. I'm going to go spare my voice and listen to my great show with my great co-hosts. Have a good show, guys.
Thanks, thank you very much,
Worms.
Michael.
Wimes.
Worms.
Annelids.
So, Jim, you've been rather quiet.
But I'll jump in if I have something to say. I'm like,
of course, always.
That's the point of building a radio show, then getting too sick to do it, is like, you can still jump in and interrupt. It's kind of like as if I could call into Free Talk Live and interrupt any time. That's what I've got going on here. So, go ahead.
Nice. The point of me getting the government to give you this disease was to get you to stop interrupting.
Oh, man, that's evil. All right, go ahead.
So, Bill, or Jim, you've been very quiet. I don't think you've said anything since the show started. What's on your mind?
Well, I just think it's boring to talk about Cantwell, so I figured we could get onto something much more interesting.
I agree with you, Jim.
Especially Bill Buepert, it's great to have, great to be with you on the show. I always look forward to the shows where you are a host, and doesn't seem like there's been a lot lately. So it's my pleasure and honor to host with you.
And of course, I feel the same, Jim. So let's get on with it, shall we?
Okay. Well, what's on your mind, Bill?
I'll tell you what's on my mind lately. There's a lot on my mind all the time, of course. And those who go to my blog, zerogov.com, see that I use that as a catharsis to speak on those things on my mind. I have to say my standard tagline, though, if I may, and Michael may not like this, but we are here on the fiend so that we can philosophically terraform the world one disobedient surf at a time.
I love it.
That is our mission statement. So absolutely. What I would suggest is that what happened in Waco with those bikers, where 9 bikers are reported to have been gunned down by the police and no police were injured or killed in this incident, they literally surrounded this restaurant.
Bilbo. Wow, what happened? Hello?
I think we lost Bill.
I'm not sure what happened.
What was that music?
Let me jump in on this.
All right.
There was a supposedly a quote from some police officer down in Waco, and he said that in his 34 years of being on the police department, that this was the worst shooting that he'd ever seen in Waco history.
Ugh.
And apparently he had another day off.
Yeah, man.
At some point, like back in the early 90s.
Yeah.
Incredible. Incredible. It seemed like it took a while for people to even remember that there had been another event in Waco some years ago. To me,
the word Waco is synonymous with that other event. That's what I think of when I hear Waco.
Because there were allegations of people abusing children, so the government came in and set them on fire along with the building.
For the children?
Yes, to protect the children.
Yeah.
It was so important and so imperative that they be protected from possible molestation that they had to be sacrificed. Because the state is the only modern religion that still demands child sacrifice.
Well, it reminds me a lot of the, it's similar to what happened in Philadelphia when they decided to bomb West Philadelphia. They bombed the Move House and killed a bunch of people there. I think because they had unlicensed chickens kids that were, naked in the yard.
They were rude neighbors. They deserved to be evicted, but they didn't deserve to be bombed.
That was back in the 80s, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So that was the Cold War era, and that wasn't really the U.S. government that did it. That was the Soviet Union, right?
I lived
Soviet
here.
Union / Philadelphia city government.
I actually knew about Move before that happened, which very few Americans did, because I was going to the Church Farm School in Paoli, Pennsylvania, up the street there from Bill, from James, and... I was going to school with kids that were inner city Philly kids, and they were like, these were like black kids that like knew about Move and told me about it and hated it. They were like, these people are horrible. like, you know, because their grandmother had told them they were horrible or something like that. Did you know about MOVE before that happened, James? Did you live there?
No. No, I did not.
Did you live in that neighborhood then?
No, I was living in Virginia at the time, so it was before I even moved to this area.
Do we get Bill back? Yeah, Bill, I think Bill's been droned, but we'll keep it going.
I see him, but
yeah.
I don't hear him.
That's why we have a deep bench here.
Yeah. Now, going back to the Waco incident, the reaction that I've seen has just been absolutely crazy. They're talking about the racial makeup of the bikers. Some people are talking about that, and I guess the police had confiscated motorcycles and went to sell them prior to a trial. Ooh. So that's the civil or uncivil asset forfeiture in action. And I mean, the opinions on this thing are just going all over the place, and I think there's an awful lot of tribalism in there, and people are confirming their own biases with their reactions to this. And for the most part, most of these people don't know diddly squat about what they're talking about, but that's usually the case.
Yeah, and with that kind of stuff, and this happened with the Waco thing too. The original Waco thing was
Fiend Phone.
They always
Fiend
make it phone. Look so bad. They always make it like so the average person watching and MOVE, like the average person watching MOVE on TV was like, oh, those horrible people. The government must have been horrible people because the government had to bomb them. Like, that's how the news paints that kind of stuff. And the same thing with those bikers, you know?
Like, yeah. As a matter of fact, going back to Waco, the one in 93? One of the bootlicking Tories was defending the Redcoats for doing that, and they said, well, they're a cult. And I'm not sure what the definition of a cult is. Is it a religious movement that has below a certain threshold?
Oh, Boston.
Numbers?
Yeah, Boston Tea Party said it's a religion less than 50 years old with less than a million members with a leader who has a beard who meets in buildings made of wood.
Okay, so all right, you just described Freedom Fiends in the Ben Stone.
Yeah.
There you go.
There you go. My house is brick.
Freedom Fiends is a cult.
Yep. I like that.
And more culty Freedom Fiends when we come back after this trip to the market. Wimes.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. Basic Handgun and Rifle with Jared Waltz.
First rule of being alive is you own yourself.
A groundbreaking approach to firearms and self-defense training. Beautifully filmed and easy to understand instructions make this one a must-have. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. New DVD from Michael W. Dean. Available on Amazon.
Your house is your property.
The Freedom Fiends. Hey, this is Lou, and I'm joined by Jim Babb, and somewhere floating out in cyberspace is our beloved Bill Buford. We're trying to get him back. And, yeah, there's a lot of interesting stuff going on in the news right now, and Jim had a couple things he wanted to talk about. So, Jim, I guess there was a very important endorsement out there recently for the 2016 presidential selection.
This is huge news, Lou. Snoop Dogg has finally released his endorsement for the 2016 presidential race.
And sound of drum roll.
I was on the edge of my seat, of course, wondering, you know, was it going to be Mark Rubio? Was it who would it be? But surprisingly, he went with Hillary Clinton. So even though Hillary Clinton is a massive drug warrior, who has basically admitted that they're making way too much money on the drug war to end it. Snoop Dogg, whose persona revolves around marijuana, I guess has decided that, hey, you know, let's go for that. So, you know, what do you think about that, Lou?
Well, it just shows that he's stoned out of his mind.
Yeah, no, I think that's a good observation. It made me think, you know what, maybe weed does have some terrible side effects.
Yeah, it's definitely possible. I seriously, if you're a pothead, and if you're like a hardcore pothead, And if you're black hardcore pothead, don't want to take your chance with the legal system, then how on earth do you endorse a drug warrior? But realistically, I think on the Republican side of the choice, yeah, they're all drug warriors too. So they all want people to go to jail for, you know, ingesting plants and stuff like that. The only thing that really differs is how long they're going to be in jail for. Because like Rand Paul, you know, he doesn't think that people should do long jail time. He just thinks that they should do, you know, maybe short jail time or just give the government some money.
Well, and he also thinks that the states can do a better job of beating up pot-smoking hippies than the feds can. So, you know, I guess that's a slight nuanced position there. Yeah, I wouldn't endorse anybody for the presidential race, but it would have been easy for him to say, hey, you know, I'm not involved. I don't like any of them. Going to just sit this one out.
Actually, Jim, I would endorse nobody for the presidential race and every other race.
Well, nobody would be better than Hillary Clinton, right?
All righty. Bill, are you back? Oh, no, he's not back. So anyway, what else is going on? Yeah, some politician is rambling for like several hours straight today, and when he gets done rambling, nothing's going to change. What's going on with that?
Well, I heard that Rand Paul was doing a filibuster. I think this filibuster is probably the best thing that any senator can do while in the Senate. So I support Rand's efforts to just talk and prevent any kind of votes from happening, any type of they can't hurt people as long as they're filibustering. So go Rand.
Well, actually, they can, because they're not actually the ones that kick down doors or fire drone missiles at people, you know, hellfire missiles out of drones at people. The politicians, the senators, they don't actually operate the tanks, the tracked vehicles, armored vehicles are going through your neighborhoods, and they don't carry the guns. So, yeah, the herding can go on while they're bickering and blabbering back and forth at each other. But
true.
I don't know. Maybe if they don't have the Patriot Act renewed or extended or something like that by a certain amount of time, maybe it creates additional paperwork because you have to go outside of the boundaries of the Patriot Act to the Patriot Act Adjustment Act or something like that. Maybe that adds like three or four more pages. And then with the notification of the Paperwork Reduction Act, that adds another page.
What would happen if Rand Paul just filibustered all day, every day for the remainder of his term?
He would drop dead of pure exhaustion within probably 100 hours.
But we'd have 100 hours of them not creating any new laws.
I think Lou brings up a great point where he says that he brings up a great point where he says what's happening is that you have a 30, 60, 90-day lag between new laws being pushed forth by the Congress and actually enacted by the executive agencies. But Lou's point, and I agree with it entirely, is that the police state is alive and well at 110%, and they've got the pedal to the metal, and they can continue maiming and killing men, women, children across the fifth as long as they wish, despite what Rand Paul does in the Congress.
Yeah, that is true.
And there's an extra kick to the nuggets. Let's say he goes until 2 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, and you know, then he finishes his filibuster. Do they vote to extend it right then and there as he's finishing, or do they just come back in a couple hours and vote to extend it anyway?
Who knows?
More Freedom Fiends right after this. Trip to the drone-free market.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
Are you tired of your taxes funding endless occupations around the world? Antiwar.com is run by people who understand that wars abroad become wars at home, wars on our freedoms. Antiwar.com is dedicated to bringing you the latest in news, views, interviews, and reviews from the top movers and shakers in the anti-occupation movement. Antiwar.com has it all, from thorough foreign policy analysis to interviews with whistleblowers who used to run the military-industrial complex. Antiwar, pro-free market. That's antiwar.com.
Uh-huh. This is the Freedom Fiends. Hey, this is Lou, and I'm joined by Jim Babb and Bill Bupert. And Bill is back with us now. And he was going to go into some more stuff about Waco that Jim had asked him about during the break. So take it away, boys.
Yeah, Bill,
you know what I wanted to
before you got disconnected. I was going to say, before we got disconnected rudely, you were about to drop some knowledge on us, and I certainly want to hear what you have to say about this recent incident in Waco.
Well, my take on it is that 9 bikers were killed, and we don't know how many were killed and injured total because we're believing the official government reports and the police reports. And I would tell you that the underreporting, the non-reporting, the misreporting that goes down in this in America as a result of police murdering of civilians is severe. As of April 15th, I think, of this year, or maybe even through May 1st, we have 450 dead that are confirmed as a result of police murder of civilians in America. We've heard this trope again and again where folks, 400 people a year die as a result of police killing civilians since 2001, more than died during 9/11 when the towers fell. That's not the case. That is underreporting of the severest level. There's a guy by the name of Brian Burkhardt out there with Fatal Encounters who's trying to both anecdotally and local city up to the federal level establish what this cop murder rate is. He estimates it, and I estimate it, at between 12 and 1,500 a year. Now, that is with all the reports that we see, because one thing we don't know is this. What happens in the American gulag system as far as the number of folks who die there? A lot of those deaths are reported within a penitentiary system in the incarceration system as being caused by other inmates and such. I'm here to tell you, how do you know a cockroach is lying? His mandibles are moving. I don't believe any of these official reports that are coming out of the Police State USA when they report how many people are dying. So that's why I think, going back to the original point with 9 folks being reported killed, all bikers, not police, no police were killed or injured during this incident. None whatsoever. As a matter of fact, there are no reports that shots were fired, not only within the conclave of bikers fighting each other in this mad flash mob that's being described, but no police suffered any injuries. The problem with this is that when we go back to Waco that you guys were discussing in 1993, remember that when the ATF and all those federal agencies laid siege to Waco, they opened fire knowing there were men, women, and children in this rickety structure. They opened fire not on identifiable targets, but they opened fire on walls. They didn't simply confine themselves to windows or doors that showed targets. They ventilated walls with fire from both tanks, infantry fighting vehicles, and small arms. What moral man, knowing there are men, women, and children who may not be armed or may be armed inside of a structure like that, would not identify targets and start to ventilate a structure like that? We fast forward now to the present day, 2 decades later, and we discover the same thing is happening again and again. And I'm of a mind, too, gentlemen, that what the police have been doing in America, this isn't new. This violence, this sadism, this psychopathic wish to dominate and escalate. I think this has been there all around. I think what's really made this new is that we have so much video and audio evidence of Absolutely. Their predations on the people.
Totally. Jim, everybody's got a video camera, and we can share it now. That is brand new in this for the course of humanity. So where do we go with this information? I mean, I think you're absolutely right. This has been taking place for a long time, and it's getting exposed. I do have some concerns. It seems like even when this knowledge is out there, though, people say, well, we have to do something. What should we do? Police are completely out of control. We need to do something. Now, what do politicians do when they hear somebody say, do something? They come in and they want to do something. And that could be far worse than whatever it is, the problem they're trying to solve. And I think we're seeing it with additional clamoring to federalize the police. And that concerns me. I just don't want that to be the solution. Yeah.
May I suggest that the police are de jure and de facto federalized already? All 19,000 departments, all million badge status thugs. The laws, approximately 5,000 federal laws, from which emanate tens of thousands of executive agency regulations and laws that are enforced across the country. Most of those laws are malum prohibitum laws, and most of those laws, of course, are federal laws. I would suggest to you and the audience that the police are already federalized and have been federalized for a long time, whether it's the Pentagon 1022 and 1033 program that's weaponizing them in a military fashion, the war on drugs inaugurated by Nixon in 1972, which made every human transaction in America transparent because of the threat of illegal vegetation. All of this stuff, I think they're making the noises, but I think they are already federalized. You know, what we have to realize when we try to take a bird's eye view of this is that police always have been and will be the existential threat to human liberty. No political bad actor on planet Earth can do anything unless they have a police enforcement mechanism that's willing to go out there and apply wood shampoos and bust heads to enforce ridiculous regulations and laws.
Absolutely right. Just following orders. If those orders mean nothing without the person that's going to follow them, that's going to obey.
Oh my gosh. You're so right. It's so aggravating. Befelist befel means orders are orders, which is what the Nuremberg defense was for the Germans. It didn't work for them. Well, why is that okay now? Where, hey, Jim, I need you to knock Lou in the head. Well, why do you need to do that? Well, because it's the law. Well, why do I need to do that? Well, because you need to follow orders.
And that's just doing my job, Lou.
Bad moral behavior. Yeah. Exactly.
I'm sorry, Lou. I don't want to beat you in the head, but I'm just doing my job. You understand?
I understand completely. And because I don't want to be beat in the head, I'm going to defend myself. Nothing personal. You know what? Just doing my job. Right.
Yeah. And what this whole police state thing does is it takes fear and obedience is what keeps the state alive. You know, fear and obedience is the brick and mortar of the state, and the collectivists are the stonemasons. And in the end, if we can figure out, and I've got this figured out myself personally, that fear is a choice of behavior. Danger is not a choice because you can face danger, but how you face that danger is what Boston and I would emphasize will determine whether you're going to prevail or not. And when I say prevail or not, it doesn't mean that Boss and I may not assume room temperature in the course of quelling our fears and facing what we have to. But fear is an option. It really is. But the state wants you to think that fear is your default functionality whenever you encounter either government bureaucrats or their armed enforcers.
That's true. Exactly true. But you know what seems to help people overcome that fear is when they see a video or in person, somebody standing up to the police. And it doesn't have to be in a combat situation, just somebody that looks at a cop during an encounter and says, no,
amen, brother.
I'm not going to comply. And when people see that, they go, yeah, that is what you're supposed to say. And when that encounter goes well, and the policeman basically, and I've seen many videos like this, people, you know, sort of the veneer is peeled back. It's like, you know what? They don't have as much power as they want you to think they have. And when you tell them no publicly, it really just spreads that message, and it goes viral. I think that's why we see such, some of these things we've seen with these police riots. People really want to see it. They really want to follow it in the news because people stand up to police, and it's exciting. And they say, yeah, I do want to stand up police. And maybe I could do that too. So, this new technology that we have is going to help us on that front as well.
Now, let me give you two examples of people standing up to police. It's on video. And one of them has been going around for quite a while. It's a college student, I believe it is, and he's open carrying with an AR-15, and the cop comes up and gives him the standard routine, and because this young man is a law student, he knows what's going on, he knows his rights, and he is grilling this cop of, you know, why am I being detained? Am I a suspect in a crime? And the cop's saying, well, I have to check your ID to make sure that you're not a felon. And well, why do you suspect me of being a felon? Because the only thing the guy is doing is he is open carrying an AR-15. And
they're
for me, for me, open carrying an AR-15 going down to the farmer's market, it's not my cup of tea. It is tactically unsound, but where I see the value in open carrying either a handgun or a rifle or shotgun is that it gets firearms into the vision of people, and since people don't see firearms so much anymore, they have a tendency to absolutely freak out and lose their marbles as if, you know, the Russians have invaded. And
absolutely. You know, it shows you how thoroughly they've been indoctrinated, doesn't it? As far as their hoplophobia, as far as their
completely.
Fear of weapons, where they and if you watch and we haven't watched television in my house, broadcast TV since 1996, but if you watch television, you watch the police procedural shows, All the cops, most of them, are good guys. They solve the crime by the end of the show. But whenever they encounter citizens with firearms, they always put a negative connotation on it in all these police shows on television. All of them.
Yeah. So going back to the video that I was describing, though, of course, with it being face beef, there's a big giant debate that erupts. And one guy who I like him, he's Republican-ish, maybe even could be libertarian with a little bit more practice and a little bit more pain and suffering under the boot of the state. But his comment was, you know what, I used to give these guys a bunch of crap over open carrying, but when I see stuff like this, it reinforces the idea of why it needs to happen. And of course, there was a bootlicking Tory on there that says, you leave my redcoats alone. If that guy, you know, goes out with a gun and if he's around, you know, your family members, your children, and stuff like that, you're going to want that cop to come in there and arrest him and all this other stuff. It's like, oh my God, I cannot believe the Stockholm syndrome that is going at full speed ahead. Less Stockholm syndrome, more drapetomania.
Absolutely. It's a Stockholm syndrome that's harnessed to the Milgram experiment, which makes it even more toxic.
Yeah.
That's
so
true.
With all this cop worship that's out there, and people have this idea of the troops defend freedom and, you know, the police serve and protect, it's absolutely the opposite. You can show them just reams and reams of articles that you print from the Free Thought Project, or even a lot of the mainstream media starting to pick up on this stuff, and they will deny it as if they were defending their own mother.
Well, they can't accept
the cops defending themselves and investigating themselves constantly. I mean, of course they're going to say, no, he was perfectly justified. Imagine if we use this level of discomfort that these frightened cockroaches have when they say, well, I felt threatened, so I had to open fire. Imagine civilians doing that. They wouldn't respond that way to them.
I don't think so.
More Freedom Fiends coming up right after this. Word. We won't tase you. Well, maybe with a little liberty. Worms.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
Hey, this is Squiscar Squiggles from Death Clocks. And you are listening to the Freedom Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess I says worms now. So there you go.
Tired of those old Freedom Fiends buttons? Well, the Freedom Fiends have new button designs.
As always, it's only $10 for 10 buttons, and you'll get these nifty designs. Buy sheep, for sheep, on sheep.
State speech is hate speech.
Two designs for Guns and Weed, the Road to Freedom.
Three designs for Fiend Phone.
Pipcot No Gov.
A Freedom Fiends Worms button.
And ask me about my worms.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says Buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
Freedom Fiends. And this episode is 33% fiendier than usual. Hey, this is Lou, and I'm joined with Jim Babb and also Bill Bupert. Jim, you had some more questions for Bill.
I wanted to see if we could maybe get to the bottom of this Waco situation a little bit more, because I'm, you know, the news reports left me with more questions than answered. And
they always do.
And, you know, it's like, what message do they want me to receive? It seemed to be like, oh, these crazy, crazy gunmen shot each other up and the police came in and saved us. And I have a feeling the actual story is far more horrible. And have there been autopsies on the people that were killed? Were these police bullets that killed them? Do you have any more information on this, Bill? Or what is your theory about the reports that we're getting versus the actual story?
You know, William Grigg, who writes out of Idaho, he wrote on Pro Libertate, he wrote an article on this very thing. And my theory is that I'm like you, Jim. In the end, I wait 48, 72 a cycle to exhaust itself, and then I can get some more testimony that that's closer to ground truth. You and I were discussing earlier, what happened is the police had an organization out there where they had surrounded and established a cordon perimeter around this restaurant where these bikers were. And of course, they had their public information officers, which is, you know, police Goebbels gargling liars who were
the best liars they have in the station or get that job, right?
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And then, of course, they've got the captive media that's out there reporting from their news vans with their big dishes and everything like that. And they are given the police story and the police side of the story. What I find interesting about this is that there's 9 killed, although I suspect that there's going to be more injuries and deaths within this perimeter, you know, with the bikers that are dead as a result of police firing upon them. And there's 0 police injuries and killings. That's the number one indicator that something is very interesting here, that this was not a two-way range. But the other thing is, why did they surround them like that? One of the reasons is, and Greg talks about this, is because the feds hate bikers. Not only do they hate the Christian, veteran, Republican, you know, shiny Harley-Davidson type bikers, of course they despise the one percenters who represent the criminal outlaw element of bikers. But I think another reason why the federal government hates bikers so much is because they're such freedom lovers. I mean, these guys, love them or hate them, yes, they do break malum and say laws, most certainly, malum prohibitum laws all the time, as every loyal American should. But in this case, they don't like them because they're really in your face about it. You know, we've seen the Sons of Anarchy television series, which is a far cry from what bikers are like in actual reality. But nonetheless, they're people who are really in your face about living by their own code in their own way. And there is a violent lifestyle there. But it certainly doesn't warrant the behavior that we just saw of the police state here. But look, this is endemic of how they behave on a daily basis, you know, throughout America. This is what happens. This was simply a concentrated incident of the police murders of civilians that takes place.
And just what a scale of this one. I guess just the numbers involved really, you know, brought it to the news. Just horrible. I'd love to hear some firsthand accounts of what really happened there. I really want to know.
I would, like, too. And, you know, the sheer scale of this, Jim, there are several things that are going to come out of this. Here's what I predict. I think that there are some very affluent bikers out there, these guys who put on the cuts, and they're Christian bikers, veteran bikers, or whatever their club is, but they're totally 100% legit. Their registration's current. Their insurance is current. They've got 9-to-5 jobs. And they're very affluent. I'll bet you're going to have a half dozen affluent bikers who are here who are going to get together and file a class action lawsuit. And that discovery process of how this police perimeter was established and how this whole thing occurred in the first place is going to be very interesting and revealing on police tactics in the United States.
Quick question. Has any cell phone camera footage emerged yet?
You know what? I haven't seen it. That's so interesting because apparently this restaurant, Lou, had a number of surveillance systems, but all those surveillance systems are blacked out.
Well, you know what won't be blacked out? Freedom Fiends in the second hour. Coming up right after this. But I do expect to see cell phone footage of what happened. And there's always cell phone footage.
They can't block it all.
This show survives on donations from fiends like you. We put that money back into our show and Liberty Outreach and donate most our ad space to Liberty organizations that make a difference. We're also a teaching hospital, educating the next generation of Liberty talkers on the skills needed to keep the radio flame of truth burning into the future. Put your money where your heart is and make a donation of any amount to the Freedom Fiends. Please go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post.
We'll be right back.
This is the Freedom Fiends.
Yeah.
Second hour.
Freedom Fiends.
This is a Freedom Fiends broadcasting through the Libertarian Reeducation Center's low orbit ion cannon high atop Financial Beast Plaza on the artificial satellite LibPair 2017 in the Alpha Centauri region. The Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org. Now, before we get rolling, I have to do the obligatory. You can say that Obama is a liar, a socialist, and a speech tank, but how dare you criticize the cops and soldiers that enforce his will?
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, and that's one of the things that we touched on this a little bit in the first hour, the disconnect between the loyal, patriotic, flag waving, Tory, redcoat worshiping Americans and their oppressors. It's really amazing that these people don't see that it's actually the cops that are inflicting the tyranny and not Obama. And here's a little something that I wrote out a couple of days ago, and I want to get your impressions on it. There's this notion that local government is easier to restrain than state or federal government. Those cops that you see on YouTube beating, killing, and looting the population are not feds. Some are state troopers. Most are local cops enforcing local declarations, not federal declarations. The idea that local tyranny is preferable to distant tyranny is as laughable as the idea of local tyranny being controlled easier than distant tyranny. And the reason that I wrote that is because people have this idea of, well, we got to take back our local government, or we got to implement the 10th Amendment and get the states in charge. And they act like state government is going to be less tyrannical than federal government or the county government. And now, granted, Mike, the county that I live in, the county government here, they can't go occupy Iraq, but they can occupy the county that I live in. And they are occupying it. So what are your guys' thoughts on this nonsense? And I'm sure neither of you is going to play status advocate and say, oh, yeah, we got to take back the local government.
Well, my house is under siege by the school board. They're constantly demanding tribute from me, or they threaten to take my house every year. And it's just the school board. Now, thankfully, though, now, correct me if I'm wrong, but Obama announced that he's no longer going to be giving local school boards grenade launchers. So I think that is, I think that's a small benefit, a little step forward. I don't know. I'm not going to get all excited about it, but you know, I think the fewer tanks and grenade launchers that my local school board has, the better. So,
I'm going to say I'm on board with Jim, where I home educated all five of my children, and I did have to pay for the government re-education camps and mine laundries during that time, despite that, because I did own property. The only difference that I have with you, Lou, and this is a difference of degree, is that I do think that local tyranny can be just as bad as federal tyranny. But it's something I said in the last hour, which is that those who don't think that all of these statist police departments, all 19,000 of them in America, aren't federalized de jure and de facto already are delusional.
Right, right. And granted, they are federalized, but my larger point on this is, okay, the local government, the town that I live in, they can't go and print their own money, and you know, they're getting money from federal grants and everything else. Let's say there was no federal government. Well, it just means that the state and local taxes will be a lot higher, and they would probably equal out to what the federal taxes are. But even more, they have all these little impromptu taxations where they pull you over and say you weren't wearing your seatbelt, so you have to give the city some money, or your privacy fence is too high, and what are you doing with the privacy fence on your property in the first place? And they collect all this revenue in that sort of manner. But for the average person, the amount of tyranny that they receive in a day, it's always inflicted at the local level. I agree, we got the state cops around here that they go through and they commit their road piracy, but for the most part, it's the local cops inflicting local tyranny on people.
Well, what about like a turf war? Maybe we could enjoy the benefit of these little smaller kingdoms fighting over the plunder. You'd be like, no, that's our slave. No, he's our slave. Let them go fight amongst themselves for a little while.
Wouldn't that be great to have a marketplace for tyranny?
Well, and that's the only reason I sort of think, like, I favor secession. I want to see the big things break into smaller things, because then those smaller things can, you know, let them fight amongst themselves. Like, they can spend less time worrying about me if, for instance, if the federal government and the state government are locking horns in some capacity. Well, that might give me an opportunity to escape. So at that particular moment.
You're right, because secession is the rule and not the exception in human history over the past 6,000 years. And I want to riff on something that Lou just mentioned concerning the printing of this fiat federal currency that we have. Is everybody aware that Denmark is moving in a way where they want to eliminate cash from their entire society and go completely electronic?
Yes, I've heard about that.
Surprised me.
Yeah.
Was it Denmark? Okay.
It's Denmark. If Denmark does this and provides a proof house for all the other governments that are going to be eagerly watching this, governments would love to get rid of cash, because then it gives them that Star Trek standard of credits where they completely manage everybody's transactions. Because right now, even though so many human transactions in America, for instance, are open in a one-way transparency to the government for what we do, cash is a barrier for them as far as seeing what everybody does and establishing association that works on what's purchased, what's transported, what's kept, what's not, what's sold, what's bought, you know, all those things. Cash makes it messy for them. If they had this electronic debiting system in place where cash was outlawed, it would be yet another Orwellian measure for them to manage their tax helots.
But yet, there'd be pushback, right? Like, I'd trade with seashells or Bitcoin or whiskey or, right? I mean, the people that want to conduct trade covertly are still going to find a way to do it. They're still going to find a medium of exchange that is harder for the parasites to infest. So, let them try.
Yeah.
You know?
I think you're right. There's almost a tacit acknowledgement, if not a begrudging acknowledgement, on the part of most governments, and we saw this in the USSR, that if it isn't for the black market allows non-free markets to breathe. It allows them to function haphazardly. Like, if it weren't for the black market, the gray market, and the underground economy in the Soviet Union, it would have collapsed long before 1989 to 1991. And it's the same in the U.S. We kid ourselves as Americans if we think that we haven't collapsed into a bankrupt system that can't sustain itself economically. We're there already. But the thing that's keeping it alive right now is spontaneous order and human individual ingenuity at the atomistic level. That's what's keeping America afloat. America isn't grinding forward into the future because of fiat currency. It's doing it because of the genius of individual men and women.
And it's amazing that we're still have the standard of living we do with these massive parasites on our backs. I mean, imagine our society unshackled from this. It's like trying to, you know, we're running a marathon with a 50-pound bag of flour like on our shoulder.
Jim, we'd be on the moon by now.
I mean, it's sad when you think about all the innovations that have been lost. I mean, if humanity can do this great with this level of burden, just imagine, forget the moon. It'd be Alpha Centauri. It'd be
Jim. What you just said, if any of the audience takes anything away from this 2 hours of bloviations on Freedom Fiends, it's what you just said. Imagine what the world would look like if they were totally unharnessed from this totalitarian parasite that is on everybody's backs. You're right. You're right.
And think about all those people that have worthless government jobs. Imagine them having a productive job. So not only are they not feeding off of us, but they're suddenly, now they are innovating and they're producing and they're growing things and building things and designing things. And instead of having all this high-tech stuff going into DARPA and weapons research. It could be going into new energy sources and better food production and clean water and the things that humanity is desperately needs, new medical advances.
I agree. I saw this brilliant video the other day by this guy who's running a cash-only medical practice where he charges his patients $49 a visit, and he'll see them for 5 minutes or 45 minutes or maybe an hour and 15 minutes, and he's prospering. But this tax burden that we had, and you guys have tangentially mentioned this, I wrote an article, I don't know if you read it, Lou, or not, or maybe Jim, where I made the case why America has a tax burden that exceeds 100%. Did you guys see that essay that I wrote?
No. That's not very recent, yeah. Is it? Because
it's about a month old.
Okay. I remember hearing you talk about it, but I don't think I've read the article.
Yeah. So my point is that our tax rate does exceed 100%. I'm not going to bore the listeners with them with the details of that right now. But what it comes down to is this, is that all the taxes, to include income taxes, the state and federal level, property taxes, excise taxes, spirit taxes, and all the taxes of inflation. And then at every level of production, Jim takes ore out of the ground. Jim sells the ore to Lou. Lou takes that ore and refines it into metals that I can use. I buy those from Lou. At every point, the federal government and every government underneath them charges us a tax on every one of those transactions, which is why it exceeds 100%. But like Jim is just talking about, which is a brilliant point, imagine all that taxation disappears overnight and people aren't forced to work for war and taxation, but they're forced to do the little house on the prairie thing, which is that the West was conquered by commerce, not gunmen. That's what made America so great at the time, as they fled the Constitution in their westward expansion.
Yes, well, one of the key points that you made at the was that when those people went out into the wild frontier, they weren't worried about having food stamps or Section 8 housing to live in along the way, and they weren't worried about having a free clinic to get medical care if they, you know, got attacked by Indians or, you know, fell down the Grand Canyon. That was people that were trying to escape the state. That was people that, you know, like, who was the guy, that, Daniel Boone or Davy Crockett, he says, "To hell with y'all, I'm going to Texas." They were trying to get away from, you know, the so-called civilization.
The frontier is always where you find the freedom lovers.
And you'll find it in the frontier right after this trip to the market.
Analysts.
Listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
Are you sick of government lackeys who say, "You didn't build that"? Are you tired of elitists like Barack Obama and Al Gore taking credit for the web while trying to take over the web? Are you disgusted by experts whose concept of the internet is that it's a series of tubes? Take back the free market of computing by encouraging software developers to adopt the BIPCOT NoGov license. The BIPCOT NoGov license allows any use or modification except by governments. Go to BIPCOT.org. That's Bravo, India, Papa, Charlie, Oscar, Tango.org.
Welcome back to the Freedom Fiends.
Meow, meow, meow.
Worms. We are here with Bill Buepert, Lou Fien, and I'm Jim Babb.
You there, Lou Fien?
Hey, Jim.
I'm here. Did you hear me meowing?
Yep. Hey, little teaching hospital tip here, James, since you're new. You don't ever talk until the music's played for 10 seconds. That was about 7 seconds.
Okay.
Yep. Teaching hospital, because some stations teaching cut hospice. That off. So, no, it's not hospice.
Teaching hospice.
I'm getting better. It's a hospital again.
I need the Fiend manual. Where's right. The Fiend manual?
And James, I think, could turn down 5%. This is the Fiend manual. We teach our audience, too, at the same time. So go ahead and tell us about Obamacare sheep tax there, Bill.
You know, I did an essay recently at ZeroGov.com in which I talked about the first 10 years the monster moves apace, because I'm a constitutional skeptic, and I find that I've really had to unlearn a lot of what I learned in government obedience classes, which is called civics in the schools. And what I discovered is that when Roberts made his majority decision to call Obamacare a tax in that Supreme's decision, I didn't realize until I researched it, he had gone back to a 1792 law that was granted by either the Congress or the executive that talked about indirect taxation and how the Constitution will be used as a central government to tax things. So here everything's coming full circle. You know, if you read the dissent to the Obamacare decision by Justice Thomas, he says, and I think this is on like page 106 or 107, he says something to the effect, and I paraphrase, what's bad about this is not only is this a tax on action, this is a tax on inaction. So we've sort of closed the circle here. 1792, a mere year after the Constitution is ratified as a law of the land, we fast forward to 1943 with Wickard versus Filburn, where a man was growing wheat on his farm. He consumed the wheat on his farm, did not sell the wheat off his farm, but he affected interstate commerce because of his behavior of consuming wheat on the farm and not selling it. So when we take all of these things together, what it tells you is that the totalitarian state in America has not only been alive and well recently, but it's been alive and well ever since the ink on the Constitution dried in 1791. Rant off.
So what you're saying is original intent of the magic parchment was what we are seeing here today, and that the Constitution,
we're getting it good and hard, brother.
The Constitution has either created the government that we have had, or it has been powerless to prevent it. I switch it from authorized to created because, well, paper just can't, you know, authorize stuff.
So that's Lysander Spooner, not Lysander Spooner.
Right.
There you go.
I like it.
Yeah, the original intent, and in fact, everything they do is also constitutional, because the Constitution says they get to decide what's constitutional.
Everything they do.
And let's not forget about all the weasel words and clauses that are in there that enable anything.
You're right. You want to shut somebody down when they talk about the constitutionality of something. Use a counterfactual and say, please describe to me what the descriptive value is of the word unconstitutional. Cricket. Cricket, cricket.
Well, considering that most of the Constitution lickers have never read the Constitution, they're going to spout off with some rhetoric that they heard somebody at the Campaign for a Tiny Bit More Liberty meeting say.
That's exactly right. You know, if Michael, Bill, Jim, and Lou are in a courtroom before a robed government employee, we will use not a single word from the body of the Constitution to defend ourselves from the government. Not a single word.
No, none. You know what? I get a real kick at these Campaign for a Tiny Bit More Liberty guys talking about, you know.
I love that.
Well, if you love that, then you'll love Campaign for a Longer Leash. But I remember one of these guys was popping off about how the unconstitutional Fugitive Slave Acts were nullified by the states and how the states came in to control the federal government. And because he'd never read anything more than the Bill of Rights and skimmed over Article 1, Section 8, he had absolutely no idea that the Fugitive Slaves Act were codified in Article 4, Section 2. So not only
by the way, they were 1793. As a matter of fact, there was a decision that was called the Fugitive Slave Act that was later modified in 1850. And I just did. It's amazing you say this. Providential might be, but I just talked about why slave patrols were probably the origin of modern American policing, and nothing's changed.
Yeah, that was law enforcement. Law enforcement recovered fugitive slaves and took them back. So the whole idea that owning other people is legal, but harboring escaped people is illegal. Now, come on.
You get the Silver Star Award. So Jim got the Gold Star Award earlier. But
speaking
yeah.
of the origins of people walking around with guns, so speaking of Cantwell, of people policing the streets, he's lying, saying that the other guy, he used the N-word before the black guy called him a cracker.
Your brain are he's listening saying it was the other way around. Freedom Fiends with Liar. Michael Dean and his weird friends.
It's a handbag fight.
This is the Freedom Fiends. Hey, this is Lou, and we have Jim, Bill, and might even have Michael sneaking around somewhere. He's centrally skulking. Scrutinizing us. Yeah, he's centrally scrutinizing us. So, anyway, yeah, what do we talk about now? What's the story here? More cockroaches?
Let me interrupt that for a second. Just I wanted to make an announcement. I'm raising money to hire Derek Slopey to develop the Fiend Lung application. So it's based on the success of Fiend Phone. This will be Fiend Lung, which will also be covered under the BIPCOT no-gov license. So
I think you'll have to run that past Michael, because Michael may want to market lung butter as a possible way to raise money, too.
Will Fiend Lung come with a longer oxygen hose? That's the question.
We need a campaign for that.
In a backpack for his Fiend Lung.
Oh, for God's sakes. All right, so, Jim, did you have something that you wanted to ask Bill about here?
You know what, we were talking about hoplophobia earlier, and which I think is an interesting topic. I do have a quick story about hoplophobia if you guys want to hear it.
Hoplophobia, for those in the audience who aren't, you know, eloquent and Greek, means fear of weapons. Go ahead, okay. Jim.
Well, because it kind of goes back to the beginning of our show when we were talking about this. I was at it was a Good Friday peace demonstration in King of Prussia at the Lockheed Martin facility where they build nuclear weapons or design them, or I'm not sure exactly what they do, but and this group, the Brandywine Peace Community, every Good Friday they do a service out there, and it's a they sort of combine the Good Friday Christian message with some anti-war philosophy and anti-nuclear weapons, and it's an older crowd, but it's a really good presentation they do. And I had gone with a group of friends. We had found out about it, and we went to this, and I was with my friend Fernando, and they're going through their presentations and everything, and Fernando says, "Hey Jim, get your camera ready. The cops here are just kind of looking at me funny. I think they noticed that I'm armed." So, you know, he had a holster on. So the cops were eyeing him up. And sure enough, they pull him aside and they start questioning him. And I'm filming. And this is all sort of we're in the back of the presentation. Anyway, Fernando's super cool, super mellow, knows how to handle police. So, you know, within a few minutes of conversation, that conflict was over. Then at the end of the event, I hear some of the organizers talking. Can you believe somebody brought a gun to our event? They were horrified. Okay. Now, meanwhile, as part of this event, a whole group of guys with guns actually carried away some senior citizens that were engaged in civil disobedience. Okay. So one group of people with guns actually kidnapped some of their members, but that was cool. Austin would be sure to help them. And it's like, oh, don't worry. I said, that's my friend Fernando. He's completely peaceful. Oh. They gave him a lot more grief than the police did at that event. And it just really sort of exposed to, you know, just showed me that, you know, we really have this weird cultural aversion that goes pretty deep. And of course, Fernando Salguero, gracious. He goes, "Oh, I'm sorry. I thought this was an open peace event." You know, just completely turned it around on him. But I don't know. I just thought that was an interesting tidbit that really sort of says something. Even people that think they're opposing what the government's doing, you know, like nuclear war, end up siding with the police over their own supporters.
Well, is an effective slave master and overseer that can get the slaves to punish their fellow slaves for them.
It's very efficient.
Yeah, my understanding is that when Rand Paul was blathering on and on endlessly, which will have absolutely no impact on the renewal of the Patriot Act, or should I say the lock up and kill all the patriots. Supposedly he has said something about, like, it's time for rebellion or something like that. Now, he doesn't mean real rebellion. He means, you know, march around in front of a government building and wave the government's flag at the politicians. So, yeah, it's really amazing. And Jim, I think you've been listening to the Dangerous History podcast with Prof. CJ. Is that correct?
Yeah, I just started listening to it. I think I heard Ben Stone mention it. And once I heard it, I was like, oh, I got to, you know, Ben Stone recommends a history podcast. I'm all over it.
Yeah. This is my new Bad Quaker podcast. Whenever Ben pops something out, I used to check every day. I wasn't signed up to email alerts. I would just check every day to see if Ben had put something new out. That's kind of how I am with CJ. This is literally my new Bad Quaker. So for those of you out there that understand what I'm talking about, that's how much weight I put on it. He's currently doing a series on the American Revolution, and he has pointed out some amazing things. One of the first things that comes to mind is he talks about how there's a loathing against the idea of actually completely rebelling against the king and declaring independence, even though, you know, the rebellion started 15 months prior to the Fancy Pants gangsters with the powdered wigs in Philadelphia deciding that they're maybe going to put pen to paper and actually do something about declaring independence. But he points out the psychological aversion to actually saying, no more, you're done, we're through with you. And one of the things they references was the Olive Branch petition. And what happened was the guys in the Continental Congress, they sent a letter to the king, and many of them were under the impression, and they actually believe this nonsense, that the king is a good guy, and he doesn't know about all the nasty stuff that Parliament's pulling. It's like, you know, he's off doing something else, and Parliament's doing all this stuff behind his back, and if only they could appeal to the king and appeal to his good side and his good nature and everything else, he'll just see that the colonists want to be good Englishmen and be treated with the full rights of the Englishmen. Well, of course, when the Olive Branch petition arrived, he read it, and that's when he hired Hessian mercenaries and sent them over to what is now known as the USSA.
Was that the equivalent of the WhiteHouse.gov petition site, where you can create a petition on the White House website?
Yeah, kind of like that. Now, there was another batch of people in there that agreed to the petition, and they only did it because they knew what the king's response was going to be. So everybody has this idea that Rand Paul is going to go up there and he's going to speak and he's going to turn the hearts of John McCain, Lindsey Graham, Nancy Pelosi, and the rest of these filthy scumbags.
Impossible.
Yeah, the rest of these fascists. And it's not going to happen. So like I said earlier, you know, when are they going to extend the Patriot Act? Are they going to wait until he stops talking, or are they going to go home and get a couple hours sleep and do it first thing in the morning?
Well, even if they extend the Patriot Act, what difference would it make? They're going to do all the same things.
Oh, that's exactly. That's a Hillary answer.
You know, I would suggest that this extension of the Patriot Act and revalidation of it and everything, let's suppose that they got rid of it today and Rand Paul prevailed and they officially said the Patriot Act is done. I guarantee you the NSA and all the three-letter agencies wouldn't change a whit in what they do in making transparent every human transaction. They'd still monitor and vacuum up all the information. They'd still do it. They'd find another pretense.
Like the Supreme Court just supposedly ruled that, oh, remember that stuff that Ed Snowden revealed? Turns out that was illegal, according to the Supreme Court. Oh, I guess they're going to stop, right? Do people really believe that? I mean, it's wow.
All right, let me play status advocate here. But guys, there's this thing called the rule of law, and because stuff has been scribbled down on magic parchment, it just possesses the souls of these bad people and forces them to behave, you know, completely normally and responsibly and kindly and nothing like they have been behaving for the past 236 years.
And the rule of law only applies to the tax helots and no one who's politically connected or part of the political nomenclatura. Look at Hagatha Hillabat, Hillary. Look at what she's done
not.
In the past. And this is all open source, you know, as far as Benghazi and the missing emails and all that nonsense. By the way, Lois Lerner's emails and Hillary's emails, the NSA has all of those. They simply haven't revealed them to us.
But what difference does it make?
You look at all of that, It doesn't, you know what, it doesn't make any difference whatsoever because they will continue in their tyranny.
Right, because all this stuff, you know, all these congressional hearings, like, I'm sure one of these years they're going to make a move and actually do something about Fast and Furious, like, I don't know, ask somebody some tough questions. It's pro wrestling. Right. The only difference between politics and pro wrestling is most adults know that pro wrestling is completely fake. They just haven't figured it out about politics.
Oh, how about that, you know, boxing match? I wonder about that. Yeah. Did you see the boxing match?
I did see that. But I wonder about your notion, Lou, when you say that. Do people not know that politics is wrestling? I think everybody knows that, but the fear and obedience, the fear that they practice every day, the obedience that's been drilled into their heads and hearts, you know, since they went to preschool or kindergarten, they don't know how to step out of that particular mindset. And also, even if they do know how to do it, they're very afraid to do it because of the implications of what happens to them if they do so. I think everyone's aware it's pro wrestling.
Yeah.
I think you're right. The implications. What are the implications of really not just understanding it on an intellectual level, but on an emotional level? You realize, like, so much of your foundation crumbles away that it would be emotionally disturbing for people to really, really put it all together.
Well, what if somebody had to admit that the Constitution that they have worshipped all their lives but never read once was not the great document that, you know, they've always repeated that it was? And it goes back to what I was saying with the Prof. CJ podcast, that people are loath to take that final step. I mean, they'll rebel, they'll get involved in some disobedience, but they won't take that final step until they have absolutely no other choice.
That's the truth. Hey, before I forget, I wanted to mention Professor CJ's Dangerous History Podcast website is profcj.org, profcj.org, so people can check that out. Excellent.
And he is a Freedom Fiends listener. More Fiends coming up right after this.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
And thank you for spending your evening with us, or your morning, depending upon when you are hearing this. And for more Freedom Fiends, go to freedomfiends.com. And now it's time for the redemption in the third act. Go, Jim, go. Redeem us.
Hey, we have made it almost the whole show without mentioning the word anarchy. This notion that people don't own other people. But this is the future of humanity. People not owning other people. People respecting the individuality of their neighbors. And this is the inevitable future of mankind. And, you know, I've heard Bill say it a lot. He doesn't use the word anarchist. He says he's an abolitionist and he opposes all forms of human slavery. And that really resonates with me as well. And, you know what, I'd like to hear from Bill, like, what kind of reactions do you get when you say that to people? And I think I've heard you say the question you ask is, I'm opposed to all forms of human slavery. What forms of slavery do you support? Totally turning the tables on them. And I'd like to, maybe you can give us some anecdotes about what people say to that.
Sure, sure. I found that, you know, in an earlier time, I was very rabid about my libertarianism and my minarchism until I evolved and became more enlightened as an abolitionist, where I'd say, people would say, oh, I'm a communist, and I'd attack them for that. But now what I say is, I say, you know, I use Socratic drilling, and somebody will say, well, I'm a communist, or I'm a socialist, or I'm a government supremacist, or I'm this, or I'm that, or I'm a statist. And I say, tell me what that's about. Describe to me how that works. And then when they do that, not only are they Socratically drilling themselves, but I can ask them probing questions like, if you don't own yourself, who owns you? And if you don't benefit from your self-interest, how can altruism make you benefit from that, where people tell you what to do to be a better person? I mean, those are all impossible equations. It's sort of like saying what the state basically says when you strip it all away is, they say, an impossible philosophical calculus that the four of us would agree is wrong. Immoral means yield moral ends. It doesn't happen. The state doesn't realize that not hitting and not stealing is not the way to form a society. So in the end, what I ask people is that if you are truly opposed to human slavery, you cannot possibly be a booster for any state function, whether minimum or maximum.
It always comes down to that, doesn't it? It's always,
you know,
it's always about forcing somebody to do somebody else's will, like that, like the new minimum wage for Los Angeles. Oh, you know, I see on my own Facebook feed, people are being like, yay for Los Angeles, $15, like minimum wage. Like you just said that people that work for $14.99 should be arrested for doing that.
and that's what voting does. Yeah, voting's a form of violence because voting assumes and infers that you own your neighbor as your own property. Because when you pull that lever, what you're saying is, I am going to use the power of the state to do good. But when you strip it all away and you take away the bad songs and the colorful flags, it all comes down to that local cop coming and saying, hey, I don't like the length of your weeds. I don't want you to have chickens in your backyard. I don't want you to use cash. And I don't want you to say those things. And if you don't comply with my orders, I will, depending on your level of resistance, fine you, kidnap you, cage you, maim you, or kill you. That is the state. That is what it all comes down to when you strip everything away.
I actually asked a friend of mine, and he's a friend, but I know him to be very statist, very far left. And I think the discussion was about minimum wage, and I said, well, where do you get the moral authority? Where would anyone get the moral authority to step in and intervene in a consensual relationship? And he, you know, most people will hem and haw about this, like, oh, well, you know, and they'll change the subject or something. But he actually said, well, you know, when this collective will transcends morality, it's superior to morality. And I was like, oh, okay. Now I understand
so
the justification
obnoxious.
For every single, like, horrible atrocity, every war, every gang rape, ganging up on a minority, like, basically the worst of humanity is summed up in that statement.
And you just summed it up so eloquently, Jim. Thank you.
Well, it's been great being with you guys.
You too, Jim. Lou, Michael.
And it's always a pleasure. Thank you very much for joining us tonight. And if you want to be free, you can do it. You just have to let your neighbors be free also. If you quit putting the chain around their ankle, you won't find the other end attached to your neck. Worms.
Annelids.
That's Frederick Douglass, by the way.
Good guy until he became a federal marshal.